What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Off the Cuff Podcast, the show that is 50% game show, 50% podcast, 100% real. I am joined here today with my brother, Michael. Michael, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, hello. I'm Michael. That's it.
I love it. Beautiful intro.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So I know last week we said we were going to have Jacob and Michael here today. Unfortunately, Jacob could not join us, but it's okay. It's me and Michael here. We got a whole bucket of topics, and we had Michael contribute to some of them. So a bunch of the unused ones from last week and any new ones that have been contributed in the time since. Actually, we don't have a hat this time. Michael, what do we have?
We have a cardboard box.
Beautiful. Filled with topics.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
All right, cool. This is good. All right, cool. So, well, without further ado, let's get into it. Michael, go ahead and pick the first topic. Let's do it. Right, this right, is off see. The cuff.
All right, let's see what we got here. I'm kind of just mixing it up. Let's see what we got.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm just ready to draw something like super controversial or like something I've never heard of before.
Oh my god.
Okay. What is your guilty pleasure?
Beautiful. Love it. Okay. 10 minutes on the clock and start.
Okay. I don't think I have a guilty pleasure. I don't.
Just shamelessly. Love everything shamelessly?
I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. I think if I do have one, I have no idea what it is. It's just like, it's like that thing where there are certain things about people that you don't know are there until another person points them out, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then when someone else points it out, your whole illusion is just shattered.
That's true. I do see that. Okay. Is there anything that you enjoy watching, listening to, like content wise, that you don't really tell people about?
Pornography. I'm not kidding. You're like perfect answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess a lot of people do this mainly just like the random things that will come up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of like my feed is just filled with memes and like my hobbies and stuff. But I mean, yeah, that's what it usually goes to.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's... The only weird thing that comes up in my feed is, like, my news feed.
Yeah.
But it, like, has a zero representation of what, like, I filtered it to be. Which is, like, I just want to see just pure, like, technology-related things.
Yeah.
You know, things happening in that space.
Yeah.
And then I get something, an article about, like, one sentence a Twitch streamer that I've never heard of say, and I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? And it makes just zero sense. And then it's a whole, I can't, like, just people writing articles about one thing that a streamer said.
Yeah.
Like just casually, just I guess still technically doesn't surprise me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid, but it I don't get it.
Okay, you know? Fair enough.
I guess
get
people
that.
Need their content, yeah.
That's true. Like, they suck up that content like a smoothie.
Yeah.
I guess for me, like, I don't know. I'm pretty shameless with the things that I like. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the closest thing would be, like, musicals.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, with the release of Hamilton, like, musicals have kind of become very... I hate saying the word mainstream, but, like, I think that's the only word that would be used to discuss it. You know?
Yeah. I think maybe what you might be trying to say is, like, it's now, like, more people are being open to liking musicals in general.
Yeah.
Since before, it seemed, at least my idea of it was that it seemed more, a little bit more niche than what it is now.
Yeah.
So.
And it put people into, like, a box. Like, I don't know if, like, you experienced this or if anyone else did, but, like, when I was in elementary, middle, and high school, and I would say to someone, like, oh, I like musicals. First response was like, oh, you're gay.
Yeah, like, I feel like that was, like, a huge thing.
Yeah, I was like, what is that correlation? Like, that's so random. That's mm-hmm. that's like going up to somebody and being like, hey, you're not very tall. Like, you're a short person. so you must be fucking stupid. And you're like, what is the correlation between the two of them, you know? Yeah. Like, it just, it didn't make sense to me. But I don't know, ever since, like, Hamilton and even Wicked, like, mm-hmm. big musicals that people were, like, gung-ho about seeing, now it's like, oh, you like musicals? Oh, yeah, totally, I fuck with Hamilton. Like, yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, out of nowhere. And I'm like, really? You know? Yeah. But, yeah, but I don't know, I've always really liked musicals, and, oh, High School Musical was definitely a guilty pleasure.
Like, yeah.
For sure, I loved High School Musicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, yeah. definitely how, like, that space has changed, definitely for what is happening nowadays with, you know, like, movements with the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And how, like, how accepting and non-accepting, like, certain people or certain groups of people are, I think has definitely changed over time. And so that's probably, I think that probably contributes to, as well as a small part to, like, now it's not that type of stereotype where, oh, you like musicals, you must like men.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you know, now she's like, oh, you like musicals, sweet. You know, now people, I feel like people don't really do that as much now. That's of course true. You will find those individuals that will.
Yeah, that's true. There's always someone stuck in a time machine, right, way back when, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right, it definitely has become a lot more accepted, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else, like, is there
I've heard, okay, guilty pleasure, I heard one guy that I knew, his guilty pleasure was, what was it? It was, so, you know, in plastic cups, like, picture like a stereotypical, like white plastic cup, right?
Yeah, like a Solo cup or like a styrofoam cup?
Neither. But, so, like, those, like, kind of small-ish plastic cups, how there's, like, a seam in it, right?
Yeah.
There's, like, because, of course, like, the plastic, right? Right. There's, like, a seam in which it, like, slightly overlaps, right?
Okay.
I knew a guy who his, like, his guilty pleasure, kind of, or his habit,
yeah,
was that all of his, like, fingers had to be, like, lined up against that seam when he would go grab it.
Oh, interesting. Like, he found that satisfying.
Yeah, he found that satisfying. And I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was new. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't like, oh, that's freaking weird, you know? But it was more like, I hadn't heard of that. I feel like,
okay,
I feel like that is a thing that people do but don't realize.
I agree with,
like,
that.
Like, especially people who are like, oh, I'm super OCD, you know?
Right, right.
So, and they just don't realize it.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. I had a friend in nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this thing, and I would, like, put a pencil down. We'd be sitting across from each other, and I would put a pencil down. It would be pointing at him, but, like, I just mm-hmm. putting the pencil down. And he would take it, and he would just turn it, like, a different direction and keep talking. Like, so it wasn't pointing at him. And one day I was like, dude, why do you always, like, do you feel threatened by the pencil? Like, what is this?
Oh.
And he just, he told That's me, he was like, I find it super satisfying when there's a pencil not pointing directly at me.
What? And I was That's like, interesting.
You find it satisfying or you find it non-threatening? Like, what is the actual thing here? And he was just like, it's satisfying to me when it's, like, in my direction but not completely pointed at me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is the strangest thing ever, but okay. Like, you do you, dude. You know? Maybe, it was so interesting.
Maybe in the way it's, like, lined up, like, in a horizontal way, like, symmetrically.
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, it could be like that, but...
Yeah. I remember... Actually, you know what? This would be kind of funny. I remember when I was a kid. You'll probably remember this. I had this, like, blankie. And it was, like, a rainbow-colored blankie.
That's right.
And the texture of when the fabric rubbed together, like, when I had it between my fingers, was, like, the most satisfying feeling in the world for me. That was for sure a guilty mm-hmm. pleasure. I had that blankie until I was, like, in my early 20s.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, okay. I think now that you mention that, I'm starting to... Okay, I think I actually have a guilty pleasure. So...
All right, go for it.
So, I don't know what the material is called, but there's a certain material that, like, I find pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
But it's the material that is very commonly used on the outside of puff bars. which is odd because I don't smoke.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so I've had some friends of mine who have smoked, and then, you know, whenever they would offer or whatever, and I'm like, oh, this is a really nice color, and I grab it, and I'm like, oh, dude. They're like, are you going to take a hit off? I'm like, no. I'm just going to hold this for a little while.
Yeah.
They're like, if you're not going to smoke it, can I have it back? I'm like, no. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would probably have to go on the list right there.
Okay. Yeah. The feeling of those puff bars, there is a satisfying texture to that plastic. Is it plastic? I don't even know. It's something. Maybe it's like a polyurethane.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I know there are like other like products out there that have that same type of material, or at least that feel, but yeah. I can't think of any other ones that do. But for that sure. One definitely is probably like the most common one, and yeah. One that kind of popped in my head.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that is a good one. The one on the puff bars. That does make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of those vapes, like the disposable ones,
mm-hmm.
they do have a texture that they're built with that's like very satisfying to hold in your hand. And I wonder if that like plays Ooh. Into why oh. people use them.
Ooh, you know? Maybe that's their marketing strategy.
Yeah, that's oh, the strat, that's dude.
That's the move. And you buy one, you're curious, and then you just want to, you end up buying them, you end up just buying more.
That would make a lot
that's
of sense.
That's probably the move. Oh man,
that's so funny. All right, that was 10 minutes on guilty pleasures. That was pretty good.
That was
yeah
interesting.
I like that. All right, you want to pick the next topic for us? You're the guest. You got to keep it going.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael and I are both sipping on some. Michael's got Arizona. I have tequila and ginger ale because I'm extra.
Anyway, we're gonna draw. Let's see what we have here. Gonna mix up a little bit. Let's see. You know, I added in the entry for guilty pleasure, and the one that the guilty pleasure that I just drew was not mine that I entered in.
Oh, really?
So I'm gonna laugh if I draw one and it's the same.
It's the same
one
topic.
That I put in this time.
We'll just continue the conversation.
Guilty pleasure? No, I'm kidding.
Oh man.
What was your favorite cartoon as a kid?
Cool. All right, timer start.
Favorite cartoon. Oh man, a lot of people, I think people don't talk about it as much now, but Phineas and Ferb was
Ooh.
A lot of people loved it.
I love Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah,
you know, now that we're actually on that topic, because this does go with favorite cartoons,
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah,
because I think we talked about this the other day.
We did.
Yeah,
there's a theory.
Oh man,
there's a theory.
This is good.
That Phineas and Ferb don't exist, and that Candace is like mentally insane.
Like she's a what's it like schizophrenic?
Like she's like schizophrenic or something. Now hear me out. So. Candace, anytime she tries to like tell her mom and dad that Phineas and Ferb are up to something,
mm-hmm.
it's like they never see it, right? And we always see from the audience perspective like what happens beforehand,
mm-hmm.
like it's totally out of their hands, and like suddenly everything goes away, right? And it's like there's nothing there, so they always look totally innocent. But if you go back and watch the original Phineas and Ferb, on very rare occasions does the mother or father ever address Phineas or Ferb directly. It's only when Candace says, hey, Phineas is doing this, and the mom will be like, oh, okay, honey. And it's like, the theory is that Phineas died when he was a kid, or Phineas and Ferb died when they were kids, like stillborns or something. And that, like, Candace was so traumatized over it that, like, she's a schizophrenic. And so the parents, they just like, oh, okay, honey, yeah, whatever you say, anytime she mentions them. And it would totally explain why they can create these crazy inventions that only she sees. They're never there when the mom or dad go to actually see or witness the thing that's happening. And why they have a pet platypus in the middle of the suburbs, in which platypi are only known to actually survive in extreme temperatures.
What about Doofenshmirtz, though? I mean, you know, okay, now that I think about it, what about their friends? Because their friends directly address them. So now it's like,
But we only see them, right? Do the parents ever address the friends? I don't know if this is true or not. I really don't know. It's just a theory.
We're just questioning it.
Yeah, we're just going into loops, which is so funny. Yeah. But on the topic of favorite cartoons, my personal favorite cartoon growing up, there's a cartoon that will forever have been marked in my memory as the first cartoon that literally made me like think of reality differently.
You just start stating like some sort of like crazy third world country propaganda type of cartoon. You're like, that one was my favorite as a kid,
dude. You know, it was the cartoon that it was the in I think I don't know if this is actually true, but in my universe, it was the first one to go meta and be like aware of itself. It was a cartoon called Rocco's Modern Life.
I've never heard of that.
It was about, I don't even think these are real things. Like, it was a guy who was like, I don't even think he was a real animal. He was like this character that was small, and his nose was like a macaroni. Like, that's what he looked like. And he had a friend who literally looked like a literal bouncy ball with overalls and hands and legs that just stuck out. And so Rocco was the guy with the macaroni face, and I can't even remember the other guy's name. But they had this group of friends that were all strange characters, and they all went and did like kind of Phineas and Ferb type stuff, but it was always really like wild. And there was one episode. It was the Halloween episode. I will literally never forget this. Okay. It was a Halloween episode. They like go through a graveyard and like they get really scared, and it's very Halloween, like, you know, like cliche Halloween. And then at the end of the episode, the camera pans out and they're all sitting on a couch watching a TV as if they're watching the episode that we as the audience just watched. And they're all sitting on the couch and they go, ah, do you remember that? That was last year at Halloween. That was so good. Oh man, we all got so scared. And then one of the characters goes, wait a minute. If we're all watching this, who filmed that? And all of the characters turn, like they have their backs to the audience and they're on a couch. And they all turn their heads and look at the camera. Like they look at you. And I literally remember freaking my shit out and being like, ah! And I like turned the TV off and I was like, what just happened? I was like 8 or 9 years old and I was scared out of my mind. It went so meta.
Bro, that's so weird.
Rocco's Modern Life. It was a cartoon.
Why would they have that as a cartoon?
Dude, it was traumatizing.
Oh my.
Oh man. What else? What other cartoons?
Cartoons. Man, Phineas and Ferb was the first one that came up.
Yeah.
A lot of people love SpongeBob, and they still do to this day.
But you have an opinion on SpongeBob.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
Fair enough.
You know, a lot of people will argue with that, and you're probably going to lose an audience over that. Yeah, so anytime someone quotes SpongeBob, I just continue to never understand it. Like, oh, it was from that, have you seen that one episode of SpongeBob? No, I haven't. You don't need to finish your sentence. I'll save you the time. I have not seen it.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, or at least if I have, I do not remember it, because I was probably way too little when I first saw it, and I just haven't seen SpongeBob, a lick of it, since then.
Okay. Was there something in particular that pushed you? Because, you know, I love SpongeBob. Like,
yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. The music is still a bop, in my personal opinion. But, like, was there something in particular that pushed you away from SpongeBob?
Dude, I can't remember.
Okay.
That's a great question, but, man, I would love to have the answer for that. I don't know. Man. Yeah, I don't know. I think I just, like, I was just like, meh.
Yeah.
It's whatever. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, people have their cup of tea. Other people don't like that same cup of tea.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, some people, like, still find, like, you know, of course, like, the show, like, really funny in certain aspects. And I'm like, cool. I mean, good for you. And then some scenes, like, I like us, like, some people have shown me some scenes from it just so that they can get their quote across.
Yeah.
I... I don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't make me laugh.
Okay, interesting. So you just don't find it funny?
Yeah.
Okay, like, that's fair.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes I just don't find it funny, which is a little odd because I feel like I have a pretty wide range when it comes to a sense of humor.
For sure.
So, but with that, I was just like, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess that's fair. Like that's totally fair. I know that there was, like, I also had a TV show that, like, everyone loved, and I was just like, dude, I don't get it. Do you remember Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends?
Oh.
Yeah.
That was, I even watched that recently. That's great.
Did you really?
Yes. Oh. I watched a little bit of it recently. It's just, I think it's just entertaining in a way where it satisfies the nostalgia.
Okay.
So it's like some cartoons that maybe you'll rewatch now when you're older that you used to watch as a kid, and maybe you might not watch it in the fact that it's actually entertaining, but I think it re-stimulates that feeling of entertainment that when you had when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Which, hence the nostalgia. So I think that's why people will mainly watch that. But if people that haven't seen it are trying to watch it, they will most likely not like it as much, or they might not.
That's true. I think
that's kind of my guess on it.
That's true. I've watched clips of it that have come up on my YouTube feed, and I remember loving that show. Like, I watched the premiere, I watched the Christmas special. Like, I loved that show on Cartoon Network. And I was watching some clips on YouTube, and I was like, why did I find this entertaining? Like, honestly, like, I don't know. Now I look back on it, and I'm like, eh. You know? Nothing against it, but I guess I was just like, wow, I guess I just had different taste.
Yeah.
But you know what show I will always love? Always. This is definitely my all-time favorite childhood cartoon.
Huh.
Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Ah.
I love that cartoon.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like,
yeah, I feel like a lot of people know about Ed, Edd n Eddy, but just have never seen it.
Yeah.
So, I think I have seen it, but not much of it. Like, I don't remember much of Edna and Eddie. Like, if you tell me, like, the characters, like, I will recognize the characters, but that's about it.
Okay.
You know, like, I can't think of any scenes or anything.
Okay, that's fair.
Uh-huh.
That's fair. I'm, like, literally in the sense of, like, boom, there's the timer. I'm in the state of Edna and Eddie where it's, like, you name an episode, you name a character, I'll tell you everything about it. Like, I remember every goddamn episode. I love that show.
Dang.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Oh! Okay, that's what we're ending on.
Yeah. Man, I wish I watched more of that show. I would probably watch it now.
Yeah, same. Like,
yeah.
I would for sure watch it now.
Because I've seen some funny scenes.
I agree.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's great.
Oh, man, that's perfect. All right, you want to hit that next topic?
That was the timer. Let's see what we got. All right.
Michael's going through our box of topics.
I think this one's an easy one for you.
Sure.
Which race do you hate the most? No kidding.
Oh my god.
No. What movie universe do you want to live in?
Oh, all right, start the timer.
All right. As a civilian in the MCU.
A civilian?
No, kidding. Imagine you're like about to go to work, and I'm sure there's memes about this everywhere, right? I've seen a couple memes on this, and I'm sure a lot of people have. But it's like, you know, imagine you wake up in the morning, you're about to go to work, you go outside, and then you see this big green monster pick up your car, throw it at this gigantic thing, and miss. you're just standing there, you're like, dude, I have work in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, like, imagine explaining that to your boss. Hey, sorry, I can't come in. The Hulk threw my Honda. Like, he threw my Honda. What?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so funny.
Like, I can't imagine, like, in that universe, like, how many times that would actually happen.
That's true. That would probably happen away. Like, there would probably be Avenger insurance. In the universe.
Avengers insurance.
Yeah. Like, in the case of a national catastrophe, like, if your car gets destroyed by the Hulk or get thrown across the universe by freaking Iron Man or Thor, like,
If Thor misses his hammer,
yeah,
and it lands straight inside your car, goes through your windshield, and you're driving, I mean, you might die, but it's covered. Yeah. It's covered.
Can you imagine coming into work like 2 hours late because you had to take the bus or like an Uber or something, and your boss is just like, "Why are you late?" And you're like,
"Sorry, I got held at gunpoint by I got held by some sort of weapon that I've never seen before."
Yeah, you're like, "I walked out to my car today
by a man who looks like a fish wearing a hat." In the shape of, like...
What Avenger is that?
I don't know. Wait, Avengers hold people hostage? Yo, I want to meet that Avenger.
Dude, I can just imagine, like, my boss comes to me and says, "Why are you late?" And I'm like, "Thor left his hammer on my car." And he just looks at me and goes, "You're not worthy." Bitch, you're not worthy. Like,
imagine, you couldn't have just moved it? No.
No. I'm not worthy.
I tried to drive off and I ended up getting my tires popped and my engine blew.
I would imagine that the hammer honestly just like goes through the engine. Like he sets it down on the car, but it'll just go through and like dent the earth. It'll just go straight through the car.
That, you know, that now that kind of makes me think of the scene in what is it? Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Where other people are trying to lift the hammer. So technically, if you think about it, he puts the hammer on the table, right?
Right.
So is the table worthy?
Okay.
I feel like there's memes on that.
There's a cool theory about that scene.
Oh my
yes,
god.
Yes, yes, okay. There is. It's so good. Okay.
Where the table turns into vision.
No. And then... Okay, no, this is good. Hear me out, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think it's safe to say that the universe we would live in would be the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. But check this out. When Odin puts the... Like, he casts the spell on Mjolnir, and he says, like, "He whosoever shall be worthy shall wield this hammer and shall possess the power of Thor." Not half-worthy, not partially worthy, worthy. Mm-hmm. Stark tries to lift it, can't do it. Barton tries to lift it, can't do it. Hulk tries to lift it, can't do it. Widow doesn't even try. Captain America moves it a little bit. There's no partial worthy. So here's what I think happened. He could have wielded it, but he didn't want to embarrass Thor in front of everyone. So he pretended not to be able to hold it. And he was like, "I can't do it." He gave the least amount of try out of anyone. Freaking Stark came in with Rhodey, and they were using like the jet propulsion systems on their like Iron Man suits and stuff like that.
If I'm not worthy, maybe my suit is.
Yeah exactly.
No, your
exactly.
Suit's not worthy. Neither is Jarvis. So
Captain America is arguably the most resilient of all the Avengers. Literally, his tagline is, "I can do this all day." You think he's going to give up after one pull? Especially after he moved it slightly? No, man. He gave up right away. He knew he could wield it. But he didn't until he absolutely needed to pick it up because he didn't want to embarrass Thor. Because the integrity of the team is way more important to him.
That's damn.
Is that not a solid theory?
I'm gonna be honest. I kind of like that. I like that.
It would make sense. It goes with his character. He is so much about integrity, about the team, about laying down your life so the other man can live. He threw his ass on a fucking grenade when he weighed 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. And thank God it was a dummy grenade, but he threw himself on a grenade during a training exercise.
Imagine it was real and the movie just ended. There's no... That was where the Marvel Cinematic that's Universe it. Ended. Captain America, that's his line. That's his backstory. He just put himself on a grenade. He died. Everyone was like, "Oh, well, he's dead. All right, we're going to go ahead and give the chug-jug juice to this other douchebag."
Dude, and to just, Peggy Carter.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's right.
The what if, right?
Captain Carter, yeah.
I probably should have thought about that.
That would have been good. I think that would have been good. But yeah, that's my theory on it. Like, I think Captain America could always wield it. And at the point where it was like they were fighting Thanos, and he was like, "Okay, it's do or die right now. I'm picking up this hammer." Mm-hmm. And he pulled it to himself, and then the crowd went crazy, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And he used that thing like he had used it for years. So I think he thought about it. He really did. Like, he studied Thor, and he knew everything about every Avenger.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my theory. Okay, since we're on this Marvel Universe kick, since we would live in that Marvel Universe, let's say we weren't just a civilian. Let's say we were like...
a barista.
Let's say we were like Miss Marvel, and we were like Avengers super fans. Mm-hmm. Which Avenger, if given the opportunity, would you want to be their protege and learn from that Avenger?
Oh, Tony Stark, easy.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
How did I know? Like...
For me, that's just easy, just because, you know, the passion I have for tech, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It does make sense. I could see you wielding an Iron Man suit.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, I think...
Do you know what mine is? Knowing me.
Black Widow. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Master Assassin.
Yeah. Actually, I would choose either Tony Stark or Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man would be cool.
Spider-Man would be my other one, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Then
you'd have to get bit by a spider.
Okay, so what would yours be?
I already have my answer. But I want to hear your guess. Just based off me, like what I've studied in my life, what I've pursued.
It wouldn't be Captain America, would it?
No. I don't have his integrity.
Vision?
Oh, that would be...
Is it Vision?
That would be cool. It's not Vision. That would be cool, though. Because then I would have an Infinity Stone to work with.
Yeah.
But I don't think as a human I'd be able to wield it. Not without some sort of advanced Stark tech. And at that point, like, I really agree with what Stark says to Peter Parker mm-hmm. in Homecoming, mm-hmm. where he takes the suit from Peter, and he goes, no, 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 I'm nothing without that suit. And Stark says, if you're nothing without the suit, then you never deserved it in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really agree with that. So it's like, yeah. What? My answer, honestly, I would learn under Doctor Strange.
That's such a good answer.
I have studied and pursued the spirit and what that actually means mm-hmm. and like the secrets and answers of the universe or whatever I think I can find about it.
Yeah.
Under every single rock and anything that I've, like, you know me, I've literally practiced every spiritual practice under the sun. Religion.
You've been through quite a handful of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything I actually followed and practiced trying to learn about what the hell is happening in this universe. And Doctor Strange is the closest that comes to that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so I would love to learn.
He was a doctor and you went to nursing school, so there's there's the resemblance.
There is a similarity there, you know? He was a really arrogant doctor. I was a stupidly arrogant nursing student. Honestly, this is really funny. Last kind of story. On that same plane, just to match me up with Dr. Strange. Dr. Strange was always right, right?
Yeah.
There's one time in nursing school where I came late. And if you come late to a class, oof, you're dead. That's the end.
You get shot on sight.
Pretty much. And the professor was, like, asking a question while I was walking in. And he asked a question to the class. When someone has dementia... what is the overproduction of chemical in the brain that is causing dementia? And the entire class was silent. And I walk in the class and he's like, thank you for joining us, Mr. Richard. And I was like, dopamine is the answer. And he was like, a little bit of redeeming yourself there, I see. Mm-hmm. There's the timer. But like, it was like the perfect moment of like, I came in late, I was the asshole, and I was right on the answer. No one else had it.
It's a Dr. House moment, I see.
It was a Dr. House moment. It was good. I will forever keep that with me. that is a win.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty satisfying moment.
It was, yeah. So Dr. Strange for sure.
Yeah.
All right, nice. All right, let's get that next topic. Dang, this is going well.
Yeah, watch the next one be, like, who would you be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh my god, that'd be so funny. Yeah.
We'll mix this up a little bit more. Okay, well, this one's looking good. Let's see. Why do some people become millionaires while others don't? I don't know. If I knew that, I'd probably be a millionaire.
All right, start.
Okay, let me try that again. I don't know. if I knew that, I would probably be a millionaire.
That's
at least
true.
Somewhat.
That's true. That's fair.
That's... I don't know. That's mindset, I guess. I mean, that's that. I guess that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Mindset, passion, whatever. I don't know.
My personal conviction: drive. Drive can come up in a person based on the necessity level of that person. Mm-hmm. So if there's someone who came from like dirt and they slept in their car and their only choice is success, then they will have 100x the drive of a person who's living comfortably in the suburbs off their parents, mm-hmm. and has a car and is able to eat every day. Like, they're just not going to have as much drive. There's definitely exceptions. I'm not saying those people have no drive, because successful people come out of those situations as well. But I think the majority of like artists and like success stories that you hear, it's like they came from dirt. They're like, oh, like my mom was a single mom and worked three jobs.
Yeah, or lived like, in the projects.
And, yeah, like, yeah. I lived in my car. Like, well, you know, I showered 24-hour fitness. Like, yeah. You know, that kind of thing, you know? Like, spent $3 on Del Taco burritos for a year, like, yeah. for my meals. Like, their level of necessity and their drive just continued to shoot up. And once it's that far up, like, mm-hmm. they never forget their beginnings. Like, you never forget where you come from.
Yeah.
Some people try to run away from it. Some people try to rise above it. But either way, they're going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I think opportunity has a lot to play with it, too. Mm-hmm. You know? But at the end of the day, drive is a lot, too. Like, I remember I watched a Jubilee video with Graham Stephens, which, mm-hmm. or Steffens. Which, if anyone doesn't know who that is, he's a YouTuber who talks about money and finances and how to grow your business and things like that. He's a really cool YouTuber. And he's been on the podcast with, like, Offline TV and Friends. And, like, he's a really cool guy. Mm-hmm. And he's really down to earth. And he was in a Jubilee video about, like, millionaires versus minimum wage workers mm-hmm. mindset. And, like, their agreement or disagreement on things. And I think it was Middle Ground is what it's called. Jubilee Middle Ground. It's like a series on that.
Oh, I feel like I saw that, but I can't remember the video.
Yeah. Basically, it was like they ask questions, and the millionaires and minimum wage workers, they agree or disagree with the questions, yeah. and they have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Graham Stephens was there, and there was a minimum wage worker, and she was like a Starbucks barista. And she was like, I feel like you had opportunities that I didn't. And he was like, you know what, you're right. I did, but I made those opportunities happen. She was like, what do you mean? He said, well, how many hours a week do you work? She says, 40. He says, yeah, well, I work the same amount, but in my off time, while I was saving money for my business, like, I would go to these networking communities, or I'd go to, like, business classes, or I'd do these things that would cause me to meet people that became successful contacts in my phone, mm-hmm. you know? And he was, like, super nice, and he was like, I'm not trying to put you on blast or saying that you're not worthy of success, but like, have you done any of those things? And she's like, no. I said, yeah. So like, opportunity, yes, there are people who are innately born with opportunity, but have you gone out and tried to get that opportunity yourself? And she was like, no, I haven't. He was like, yeah, exactly. Like, I wasn't born with those opportunities, but I am by every definition a millionaire, and I went out and got those opportunities myself. The contacts in my phone are contacts I got, not ones I got from mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's a pretty solid point. Drive, creating opportunity, or at least the creating opportunity will come from that drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's a solid point.
Do you think anyone can become a millionaire?
I mean, yeah, everyone is capable of, but I mean, everyone is capable of having a drive for something. So.
Yeah.
I think, yes, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I think it makes sense. Like, there are people that I see that are millionaires and their intention is not to make money. Mm-hmm. And there are people I see that are millionaires and their intention is solely the drive of money.
Yeah.
And both of those work, you know, depending on that necessity level or the drive of the person, right?
Yeah.
You do get people like Graham Stephens, you know, that are pursuing money, mm-hmm. or people like Kevin Hart who are pursuing money. Actually, I don't know if Kevin Hart's pursuing money. But, you know, these people that are pursuing money, you know, like Ty Lopez or, you know, those people of the world. And it's like their sole thing is money. But then you also get people like streamers mm-hmm. who they're definitely millionaires, like Ludwig and Lily Pichu and Michael Reeves, you know, Foosley. Like, these are actual streamers who are making content.
Who make a decent amount of money.
They're probably millionaires, like if you really look at all their assets, like, to be a millionaire isn't necessarily I have $1 million to spend. It means that your total worth is worth $1 million. So like, you have a $70,000 car, you have $150,000, or you have an $800,000 house. Like, everything that you own together is worth $1 million or plus. And I don't think they're pursuing money. I think they're genuinely loving what they do.
Yeah.
And that's also a millionaire, you know?
Yeah. And the streaming space, I feel like, is pretty weird, too. Like, I feel like a lot of people who get into streaming, some of them are trying to get in. You know, you get a mix of people who are trying to get in it for the clout.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then some people who are just getting into it just because they enjoy streaming or they just enjoy playing games.
Yeah.
I don't know of a streamer who their story was, oh, I got into streaming because I'm trying to make money off of this.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard so many streamer stories that are like, oh, yeah, no, I just love playing video games and I just started streaming. And it wasn't like they blew, some of them, like, yes, some blew up overnight, some like streamed for years and then grew their audience. Right. But like their passion for it was like, oh, yeah, my passion, I just love video games and then streaming it, you know. And then here I am. It's crazy. Right. It wasn't like, oh, I made a calculated decision that I'm going to start making money, you know.
Right.
So, which also I feel like is kind of weird for when they try to offer advice for making money in the streaming industry.
Yeah.
Which is like, that wasn't your original purpose anyway. If that wasn't your original purpose and you didn't make steps to try to make money because money wasn't your objective, then what advice could you offer?
That's true.
You know, other than, unless it's advice about, you know, like, oh, if you're going to make money in this, then you got to be passionate, right? It's not like, oh, for making money in this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You know, I'm sure they do that as they've already been quite deep in the space, but I don't know. That's just my guess.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's my personal conviction that the pursuit of money for something like content creation, specifically that niche, whatever content it may be, if you're only pursuing money, I don't think it's going to work out for you, because there is a point where you get tired, you know? But if you're doing something you genuinely love doing, like you're doing it for the sole fact of like, I love doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, like personally, like I love making content, like, mm-hmm. I love podcasting. I love making videos. I love sitting there and editing for fucking 3 hours and trying to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love sitting down and doing that. And I've been doing that since I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 27 now. Like, I've maybe made, like, less than $1,000 off of all my content. And it's like, I'm going to keep doing it. You know, like, the pursuit isn't money. Like, the pursuit is just, like, I love making content. And I think if somebody has that mindset, it's something that can eventually snowball into something great, something sustainable for them, you know? Ninja, like, he streamed for like 6 years before he blew up with Drake on Fortnite, you know?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
PewDiePie made videos for 7 years. Mr. Beast made videos for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, huge names in the content industry, especially on YouTube. And these guys did it for years with next to no pay because they loved what they were doing.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's, I think because of that too, maybe that might be the reason of like how long it took for them to grow the audience and where they are now. Maybe because of that, for people who are trying to get into it for the sole purpose of money, since there's not that drive for what's behind it, then they just fall off.
That's true.
Pretty quickly, they just stop. The consistency disappears and it's just, that's it.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
So I feel like that, yeah, I think that doesn't surprise me now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That does make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. yeah. If you're just constantly going for the $1 million, then you're willing to do anything and everything to get that $1 million. But if you're doing it because you like content, then you're just going to keep making content, and if the money comes, the money comes. You know? It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoo! Look at that perfect timing. All right, so we got one more topic on the rocker.
Sweet, let's do it. Would you like to choose the topic?
I would love to choose the topic. Yeah, sure. Let's get this box over here. All right. Let's see.
You open it. It says, "Scream for 5 seconds."
Would knowing your date of death affect how you live life? Wow, this took a 180. All right, Jesus. Start.
We're talking about what unit, what movie cineverse or universe would you be in? You know, oh, guilty pleasures. All right, if you know when you're gonna die,
yeah.
Like, all right.
Oh man. Okay, so what do you think? Would knowing your date of death affect how you live life?
I think it would affect everyone. I think everyone would completely change how they would act. Mm-hmm. You know. It's, yeah, I don't know what else to add to that. I think that's pretty much what that is. Yeah,
there's a quote from a movie which I mentioned in the previous podcast, and it's the movie is called The Bucket List. Mm-hmm. It's with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. A really quick breakdown is that Morgan Freeman is just your average 9-to-5 worker, makes enough to support his family. He gets diagnosed with terminal cancer. Jack Nicholson is a multi-millionaire, possibly billionaire. He like owns the biggest hospital in the area of wherever the place is in the movie. And he also gets terminal cancer. And they're both in the same room together. They're roommates. And so they make a list of things that they're going to do before they kick the bucket. Mm-hmm. Right? And Jack Nicholson's like, "I'll pay for everything. I have the money." Like, they just become really good friends. Mm-hmm. And they end up doing all these crazy adventures together, you know? Mm-hmm. But Morgan Freeman says in the beginning, like, when he gets his cancer diagnosis, he says something along the lines of, you know, in a public survey that was taken, you know, 1,000 people were asked, like, would they like to know the exact date of their death? 96% of people said no.
Yeah.
4% of people said yes. And he always thought that he leaned towards the 4%. But when he was actually told the exact date, everything changed. But it makes a lot of sense. I guess if that statistic is true, 96% of people don't want to know the exact date of their death, I guess it kind of pushes them to live however they would like to live. Mm-hmm. You know, because they have no idea when they're going to go. Personally, me, I would like to know the exact date. I want to know exactly how much time I have left to work with. Mm-hmm. And so then it would make it easier to live life. Like, it would make it easier in terms of an excuse. Like, have you ever been in those moments where, like, man, I have $70 left in my bank account. Like, I don't get paid till next week, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like,
I mean, I die in a couple days, so if I just withdraw the over amount, I'll be fine.
Yeah, like,
literally. Are you serious? I was just joking.
No, 100%. Like, if I had $70 left in my bank account, and I knew I was going to get paid till next week, but I knew I was going to die in 5 days. So 2 days before I even actually got paid. 100%. I would be like, oh, am I going out tonight? Yeah, I'm going out tonight. You know, like, jeez. I'm for sure doing it. Credit card, max it out. Forget it. Oh my God. Yeah, like 100%.
And then imagine you find out the date of you're going to die. It's wrong.
That'd be kind of funny, actually. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was interesting, like, to think about, like, there's a music video by Nickelback. I know Nickelback is highly
I love exactly where this is going. Please do go on.
The song is called Saving Me by Nickelback, and in the music video there's a guy and he walks out into the street and he can see numbers like a timer counting down. Mm-hmm. Above everyone's heads, but no one else can see them, and he sees one person and their timer is about to hit zero, and he's just staring at them, and he's like, what is this timer? And the guy's walking down the street, and a piano falls on top of him, and he dies as soon as his timer hits zero. And there's another girl, and there's like a timer that's about to hit zero, and then near her stomach, she's pregnant, there's another timer that is not gonna hit zero, and she steps out into the street, and she gets hit by a car, and her timer hits zero, but the timer in her belly is still going, meaning that the baby makes it. Yeah. And so it's like the whole video is this guy like walking around and like trying to warn people, but like, how do you tell people that? Look, and he can't see his own timer. That's the crazy thing. He like looks in the mirror and he looks in like a reflection of a building. He can't see anything.
I I have something to tell you. You're gonna... And then dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're like, huh, that's weird.
And the crazy thing is that someone saved him from dying before he saw all the numbers. And he's at the end of the video, he saves another person that's about to hit zero. And then all the numbers in his world go away. And then the guy that he saved, you see him have the same reaction as the main guy in the video in the beginning. And it's like, now he can see all everyone's timer. Mm-hmm. So like, if you get saved, then you see everyone's timer. But it kind of perpetuates the question, like, what happens to your timer? You know, if you get saved by somebody who can see, and now you are cursed with seeing everyone else's timers, like...
Yo, now that you can see my timer, what's mine?
Yeah.
Three,
two...
Imagine.
I'm a crazy person. But yeah, I don't know. It was interesting to me. Like, that video really spoke to me, and I think it would be interesting to know. Like, I would love to know exactly how much time I have to work with. Like, if my timer said something crazy like 30 years, then I'd be like, all right. I think that would make me more lazy in a way. Like, I got 30 years. You know? But if my timer said like 3 days, I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to Morocco tomorrow. Like, I don't know. Or Europe or something. I don't know. I don't even know what I would do. I just know that I would do something.
Yeah.
You know? Freaking try and climb Mount Everest. Fuck it. You know? Something. Mm-hmm. It would just, I don't know, for me, it would push me to try to, like, live more with the time that I have. I think knowing the exact date of my death would mm-hmm. increasingly make me want to do more things. What about you?
Yeah, I think everyone would do that same thing. Like, knowing when you're going to go is going to make you feel like you need to experience the life you secretly wish you could experience.
Yeah.
You that you would want to experience. So, but, oh man, I'm stuck in this middle ground of like, definitely I want to do that, but, oh dude, I also wouldn't want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you want to know how, would you rather know when you would die or how you would die?
I would love to know how I die. For sure.
You'd do that over when?
I mean, I'd like to know both, but if I had the choice of either or, I would like to know how. I know, like, the cliche answer is, like, then I just wouldn't do that thing. Like, if I died skydiving, then I just would never skydive. But I don't think it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've seen enough movies where it's like... Like, even... Have you seen the Final Destination movies?
No.
Okay. So, really quick breakdown of those movies. A girl can see visions. Mm-hmm. And like before, at least the first one, mm-hmm. in the first one, everyone goes on a roller coaster and the roller coaster derails and she sees this vision and all her friends are on it and they all die. Mm-hmm. And they all die in a specific way. Like one person gets beheaded. One of the rotors on like another roller coaster, like chops another person in half. Like it's like super brutal. And then right before they're about to get on, like the vision stops and she goes, we can't get on this roller coaster. And the people that she convinces not to go on, they still die throughout the movie in the same way they would have died, just differently. So like, she's a photographer, and so throughout the movie she takes pictures of people, right? Mm-hmm. And the pictures give clues to how these people die. And so like, one guy specifically who gets like his body cut in half by a rotor, he ends up not going on the roller coaster. And in the movie, he's like sitting at a drive-thru and he's like really scared because he's like convinced. He's like, I think she predicted her death. Like, this is too scary. And a car gets like thrown off of like a highway and it hits the car in front of him in the drive-thru when he's just sitting there. And the engine of the car comes out of the car and lands on his hood. And the car behind him, for whatever reason, is pushing his car while the rotor of this engine is getting closer and closer to his face. And he gets chopped in half the same Jesus. Way he would have gotten chopped in half in the roller coaster.
Jesus.
So it's like, it was like this inevitable thing of how. It was just the scenario changed, right? So I think even if I did know how, it wouldn't stop me from doing anything. In fact, it might push me to do and try more things. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Richard dies in a car accident. I'd be like, okay, great. I'm going to go skydiving. I'm going to go bungee jumping. I'm going to go underwater cave diving. Like, I'm just going to do all this stuff.
Imagine it changes.
then I would die. And that would be the end. You know? I don't know. What do you think? Would it affect you?
I think I'd probably rather know when.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, dude, knowing how you die, screw that. That seems way more terrifying than knowing when.
Fair enough.
Yeah. At least to me, you know. Because, like, imagine picturing how you're going to die every day. Nah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty scary.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Dang, well, that was the timer for the last topic. 5 topics. We went up and up on the positive scale, and then we just dropped down into this serious one.
Dang. What a way to end it.
What a way to end it, indeed. Anyway, I think this is a good way to close out the podcast.
Uh-huh.
This is a good show. We got some good topics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You have anything else you want to say to the people of Off the Cuff?
No.
Don't die.
Don't die.
Don't die. And live in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, let me know how you would want to die. Yeah. Let me know when you would want to die.
Yeah.
You know, never mind.
Yeah. All right. We got some dark comments. Oh, man. All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening if you made it all the way to the end. Next week, I'll try to have another guest on here. We're definitely going to have Michael come back. Michael, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. All right, guys. I hope you have a good rest of your morning, evening, afternoon, toilet session if you're listening to this while you're on the toilet, which I commend you for sitting there for 50 minutes
with
your knees on your thighs.
He's probably shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Or maybe car ride. Car ride seems to be a common one.
But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next podcast. Say bye, Michael. All right. Later, bye. Guys. Bye.
Later.